You're listening to the Periodic Table of Awesome podcast, bringing you the best of geek from week to week. Join your hosts, Dion and Quinny, and the occasional special guest as they talk movies, TV, gaming, toys, comics, and everything in between.
I believe that this nation should commit itself to landing a man on the moon and returning him safely to the earth.
After thousands of years gazing up in the heavens and dreaming of this day, a man is about to set foot on the moon. Across the world, people wait with bated breath. Ladies and gentlemen, this is a live signal. There he is. The shock across the nation at this event is just indescribable. The Soviet cosmonaut has become the first to set foot on the moon.
Hello and welcome to the Periodic Table of Awesome.
Well, hello there.
this is one small step for podcasting.
one giant review.
We're going to talk about three seasons.
Oh, God.
Oh. Poor Quinny. He didn't quite make it.
Look. Yes, Peter's like, who's done the homework? I'm like.
We kicked him out of the airlock prematurely.
Oh, no.
No, that was in Event Horizon, which is a different space movie.
Or Battlestar Galactica, which was a different TV show.
A different
or
TV
equally
show.
As stressful as and terrifying.
Yes, yeah, absolutely. And also created by Ronald D. Moore. So, you know, hey, look, like, there's a link.
Fingers crossed we don't actually get ejected into space with the show tonight because we're having some mild technical issues.
No, it's fine.
It's fine. Okay. Yeah. I've never known anything in the realms of NASA to ever go wrong in space due to technical issues, which is a very niche joke that only Peter and Jill are getting because Quinny hasn't seen that season yet, and it's going to make him just go, oh, my God. Like, Quinny, I'm so excited for you because I know that you were in for such squeaky bum time in, like, episode, like season two and three is just a whole bunch of puckered sphincter.
Because season one, let's be honest, had some pretty fucking moments.
This is what I'm saying. Like, you know, season one was very much like, oh, this is a tense show, but then season two and three are like, holy fucking shit.
It's not a relaxing time at the television. I'll say that much.
This is what I was just saying to Peter. I've had a week. I've had a big week where I've been down in Tassie doing family stuff. And today was my day to decompress and ease off the pedal a little bit before going back to work tomorrow. And I said, I watched 2.5 or 3 episodes of this show, and Peter's just like...
Terrifying.
I'm only terrifying. Concerned for the spoilers because, right. Like, I do think that this is a show that we could very easily spoil, and the fun of it is the suspense, so spoilers will kill it for you.
So Quinny's going to be here for maybe 10-15 minutes and then he'll just have to then he's off.
Go over here and play with the Transformers.
A slight format change this week only because we had 3 seasons to get through, so we're going to break it down and just kind of quickly like try.
So
and
I can chat very, very conveniently about the first season.
Yes. Yeah. Unless we extend it out, it's just going to be like 45 minutes of the first season and then 12 minutes of season 2 and 3, which will frustrate everyone.
No, I don't think that's a fair thing. And because there are a lot of people, I'm guessing that a lot of them, our listeners, have done the homework or have been doing the homework over the past however many years.
Or we'll still have. You could chat to the people who haven't done it or want to see it and are waiting to spoil it, like if they just message you in the chat. And then we'll try to keep the chat spoiler free. Like, I mean, I don't know.
I feel like
I'm the Russian cosmonauts in all of this. It's like, sure, just do it that way. Maybe what's going on over there? Anyway.
Yeah. Well, you know, I'm excited. What I love about it is that it does have this sort of feeling of like progression and things are changing and moving and you know, from where it starts in 1969 to where it is going. I love that there is so much change. So I'm keen to, you know, see where things go.
It's interesting the way that it does it, like in kind of decade skips.
Yeah.
And it gives it a nice way to tonally move across. And, you know, I've got to hand it to the actors or the main cast who recur throughout the decade changes. I'm believing them. You know, it's like, you're, oh, you were young. That? Oh, now you're middle-aged, even though
no,
kind of
I'm not believing it at all. I'm like, I'm sorry, but gray hair does not make you old.
Yeah, I am believing some of them and other of them I am going.
I'm just going to say, thanks, Jill. That's very helpful for me in the future. Right now.
So Joel Kinnaman with some gray hair is... You're okay with, is that good aging or is that questionable aging?
Look, I'll tell you that the 90s fashion they put him in season 3 was very typical of the period and definitely made him look like an old man.
Are we going to call him Kinner Daddy now?
Yeah.
Yes. I'm so mad you guys didn't tell me he was the star of the show earlier because I would have watched this way sooner than Sunday week
he's,
ago.
He's not the star. I'm going to contest that. He's a through line, but I don't think he's the star of the show.
He's built first.
The star. Yeah, well, I mean, the star was Space all along.
I heard that wrong, so I thought you just said he was built first. And I'm like, yeah, she damn right he's
yeah,
built.
Yeah, he was built. His angry face does it for me. Oh, my God. When Ed gets angry in the show, I'm like, yes. He gets angry a lot.
I was going to say, you really like this show, don't you?
He's a boomer, so, like, he gets angry a lot.
I love this. Boomer who's been to space.
In the same show, Jill would just be sitting there going, oh, I dropped the cup of coffee again on your files.
So sorry.
Yeah.
Sorry.
And for those of you who spent a good, like, 8 episodes trying to figure out where you'd seen Michael Dorman before, I'll just put you out of your misery now and point you back way, way back towards The Secret Life of Us, which was one of my lockdown binges. And it was killing me, and I don't know why I didn't look it up sooner.
There's a few actors in this that you're kind of watching, and you're like, oh, they seem familiar. Where are they? And then you're like, oh, like, you know, yeah. It's
is that the actor that plays Gordo?
Yes.
Because I kept calling him Larry in my head because he looks like fucking Larry Hagar. And it was doing my head in because he was an astronaut and I dream a genie. And this guy's an astronaut. And I'm like,
oh, shit, yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
I love it.
Actually, now you mention that, I'm like,
right?
Yes.
I mean, look, we can't get locked down too much in about anyway. Who's in this show because sure, the cast is absolutely massive. And and you know what? Not a letdown anywhere, really. Like, well, no. Kind of some places, but a majority across the board, everyone in this show is great or at least interesting. Everyone has a good character. So well done for large cast work, Ronald D. Moore. So, interestingly, well, first up, first big question really is who's done the homework? And Queenie, no.
That's three hands.
And also
very
in the
studiously.
Chat, hopefully people are in there and they've done the homework. And yeah, me for once, finally have done it all.
I did the homework.
Because you set the homework.
Yes, the feeling of superiority is priceless here.
Dion was first. He got there first.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Just so everybody know, he got there first.
Yeah. Yes.
I did the homework in 9 days. And I had never watched it before.
Well done.
And I'm very tired.
I was going to say, it's like, and I have neglected everything in my life for 9 days.
Yes. Pete and I literally finished the season 3 finale last night at 11 o'clock.
Like, oh, shit.
We've been texting each other.
Yeah.
Jill was like 10 minutes ahead of me.
As soon as an episode finished, like, fuck.
I feel- I binged the first 2 seasons a couple of months ago, and then I had to have a break.
Oh, I do not blame you.
I got way too stressed out and had some bad dreams and lost a lot of sleep. So it actually took this talk to go, right, you've got to kind of, you have to get through episode 3 now because season 2 almost did me in. I'm like, I don't need that stress in my life.
I'm legitimately scared now.
Oh, season 2, Quinny, is so much more stressful than season 1.
Okay,
and that finale, I was like bawling.
Oh shit!
Yeah, it's a bad time, but a good time.
Oh no!
Don't stay up late to watch this show. Just don't, because you need sleep and you need like an hour buffer between this show and sleep. So,
yeah. Not a wind down.
I love that we're just selling it now. We've been selling it for 15 minutes straight of just like, it's really tense. Anyway, we're having a great time and we love it. But
Okay. So aside from it being really tense, which we'll talk a lot about, the great time about the show is that for me, it feels like such a convincing alternate history.
I love it.
Super, super, super well done in kind of making you forget what's real and what's not real, and what is like in your, you know, in your memory of how history has unfolded, and you, what is something that they're kind of making up for the show.
Did Kennedy have that affair, or did he not have that affair?
Teddy Kennedy was not the president,
so that was not something that happened.
Yeah. So what happened with Nixon? Hang on, what? Yeah, and all that kind of stuff.
It's extremely well done in that sense, from the production's design through to the supercuts that bring in every season that update you, that mix in real archive with deep fakes and it's, if you like anything like that, it's super enjoyable. But the other thing I liked about it is that when I saw the you know, thumbnails, I didn't watch it for ages because I thought it was going to be a history show.
It is
a sci-fi show, because that is how they're altering history.
And should we also, just before we go too much further, do some kind of synopsis, because not everybody in the thing has done the homework.
Okay, do you have anything there, Quinny? Do you have a synopsis?
I've got a synopsis. Do you have something musically appropriate to go behind the thing?
Why not?
In an alternative 1969, the world, and especially the United States, watch in shock as the Soviet Union successfully manages to land men on the moon before the USA does. With that defeat, NASA is presented with a renewed challenge in the space race that they never expected to face. Now, the Cold War rivalry takes on new intensity and grander ambition to reach far further than ever dreamed of, with more diverse resources than ever before. That seems like a pretty good... That's the synopsis of the starting point.
Yes, and that's the fun part of it, because it is, it's literally, the premise of it is, it's the moon landing. But imagine if America wasn't the exceptional winners of that race, and it was actually the Russians. And how does that affect it? And that's what I think it was successful in the way, because I understand the frustration, Pete, of you going... Oh, it looks too like it's a documentary style, because I feel like it based everything on already established real people. And it obviously does. It bases a lot of character, kind of not like actual characters, but character archetypes.
Oh, there are actual characters.
Yes, that's true. And that's where I'm talking about the blending. History. Yeah, the blending of it comes quite weird. Like, you know, not all of them, but enough to be believable, or enough to go, well, that character is actually this real character from real history over there, but we changed their story quite significantly, which makes it actually work when they go on the sort of crazy sci-fi bent bits, because you're already invested.
Also, the sci-fi isn't particularly crazy. Like, it's sticking very close to hard science. So you kind of, you're always going, okay, well, this, I could imagine this happening. And one thing I love about the show is the way that it's shot, the stock that they use, the look of it actually also fits at the time that it's set in. So the first half of the season one is very much shot like a 1960s production.
Yeah.
And then when you move into the 70s, it starts to get that 70s look, and even some of the stuff in the pod on the moon and stuff like that gets a bit of a look, a little bit like Alien.
They went to the moon?
Yeah.
You mean they actually got to the moon? That's a big spoiler there, Quinny.
Sorry for everybody who hasn't watched enough of the show.
I feel like we need to sell it a little bit. It was just an entire show about people not going to space, then it would be kind of hard to sell sci-fi.
One of the things that I loved about the way that they did that setup is it gave you a structure where you're like, hey, there's a thing that you know that already happened, but imagine if it happened slightly differently, but also some of the things happen better and other things happen worse, which they kind of focus more on the stuff that happened kind of better. like, especially in season one, where they expand the astronaut program rapidly and put more funding into it so that you get female and male astronauts and, you know, people of color more, you know, but more like rapidly, like instead of waiting until the 80s to do that, which they eventually did, they did it in the 60s. And how does that affect this story? And what is that? What could that have meant in the thing? And I like that they went in that quite nice way, is that they didn't do Star Trek Utopia. They just went, what did that mean in terms of history? Like all the other shit still has to happen.
Yeah, it was a lot more hopeful feeling. But the one thing that I didn't really get on board with a lot in the first season, it took me a while to get into, was the political cuts. Like, because, I mean, the space program was about politics, and a lot of what NASA accomplished in the early days was based on the presidency. And I just found those elements so cynical. And I'm like, no, I just want a nice show about space. But then,
well, I mean,
when shit hits the fan, I kind of forgot about all that stuff.
Without and giving also, too I mean, much when- away. Oh, sorry.
No, you go.
I was just going to say, but without giving too much away for Quinny in season two, because you haven't got up to season two yet, it's quite,
fuck's sake.
It's quite refreshing to see NASA get out from under the shadow of government, because they, and because of the fact that they've made a whole bunch of technological changes, they end up making more money than the government, and the government's kind of like, oh, you're richer than us.
That's cool.
Is just a background, like a little bit of background level across the rest of the time. You're like, oh shit, NASA is the most, you know, profitable business in America if they'd done it that way, if they'd followed through, because they were the ones making all of the scientific discoveries and patenting things.
Which is cool. And I'm really looking forward to the 80s, mostly because I'm thoroughly enjoying the 60s, 70s kind of...
Because you were born there, you know what's going on.
Exactly. I'm looking forward to the big hair. I'm looking forward... Because the 80s was such a time of looking at technology with, you know, excitement, and, you know, it was that thing of going, yeah, everything should be a digital watch, and you've got to have your synthesizer music, and you've got to have robots and everything. You're
going to love the prevalence of the Apple Newton.
Oh, oh no, our technology has nearly killed people.
Yo, she heard Apple Newton and she just froze.
No, I was going to say that one of the really nice things about it is the way that it's a sci-fi that starts in the past. But one of those things with this kind of branching history is that you do kind of start seeing the technology of the time changing a little bit, but not so much that it's like, oh, futuristic. It's just like, you know, something that like we recognize and we maybe had 5 or 10 years later is just kind of appearing in the background of a scene. And it's like a little bit of a like, I don't feel like that should be there right now. But it's just that, you know, things are moving a little bit faster, but it all feels really plausible because it's all stuff that we still recognize, particularly in season 2 and 3, which is, you know, times that we either directly remember or, you know, have a very strong link to that recent history. And I'm really interested to see where they now take it in season 4, which is, you know, getting a lot closer to modern era.
That's an exciting time because, you know, then you can start having, you know, great music that we all love. No.
Well, I mean, I would love to see if they open season 4 with Oops, I Did It Again. I mean, and it's quite fun actually watching. I mean, one of the things I think has been the most fun across, like in a broad sense, across all of them, is that it's a very tense season and they usually end with a climax. But one of the most and wonderful and successful things is that they do a post-credit scene at the end of the final episode, which is a teaser for the next season, which is the time shift one. And you have to try to pick it and you're like, how far? What are they doing? Oh my God. Oh my God. And they always just give it a bit where you're like, what does that mean?
Yeah. With a killer soundtrack.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, man. Oh, yep. Some of the music, even just in that first one, I was just like, fuck, yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. So, right.
Yeah.
We're getting too out of track. It's already been half the show and haven't even really started talking about each of the seasons. Wait.
Well, no, I feel like because talking about each of the seasons is spoilery. So I think we should, you know, dumping this stuff at the beginning is fine.
Sure. Yeah. No, I'm fine with
that. We're just talking generally about it.
Yeah. And also the whole thing of saying, okay, should people go and watch it? Like, because that, I mean, yeah.
Well, that's the question.
That is the question, but it's also
He just hasn't watched it quick enough. Like, I mean, he's in regular timeline, Quinny, and we need accelerated timeline, Quinny. We needed Quinny months ago to get on
Quinny
board.
Quinny to have
it.
A season finale and jump 10 years.
Yeah.
Where's he going to go?
Yeah. That's the thing that we were missing here. It's more, if you want a quick review of it, should you watch For All Mankind? Absolutely. It's great. It's good TV. Right. Mainly I found it was good TV because it treated every character with respect to their character. And it gave us interesting things that I think everyone has something in the show that they can like put a hook into or would, you know, able to attach to, because every character is different. They follow a lot of different cause and effects. They go across intergenerational timelines, and it's got something in there that's kind of a little bit for everyone and kind of a reminder to be like, hey, you know that if we all fucking just work together, things would be a lot easier on Earth.
Yeah. And I do sometimes wonder, like, because there's elements of this that reminded me of elements of things like Watchmen and everything, which is the question of when you've got a common enemy or a common, you know, thing to fight against, it does, for some god-awful reason, tend to bring out the most creative, the most, you know, driving force in what we do. And I mean, Watchmen, it's, you know, alien space squid or whatever. In an effort, sorry for spoilers for anyone who's not read a fucking 30-year-old comic. But in this one, you know, it is about the fact that you've lost a particular race gives you the impetus to go faster and harder and stronger. And
yeah, which is really the antithesis of everything NASA does, because they've had to cancel their latest launch twice already due to technical issues.
But I mean, if, like, after watching this show, you have to
understand. I don't want them to rush. I really don't want them to rush.
I mean, that's at least something they took from the real NASA, which was like, NASA has had a few bad things happen and they can pinpoint exactly where that is when you push them too hard. And they're kind of like, yeah, there's a reason for that. Like, we can create miracles of people who are like literally a million miles away in space by making them rejig something. But also, if you don't have everything right on this side before you go, like, you can't do it anyway. It's interesting.
Well, and that's actually something, one of the plot points that I really thought was interesting and I enjoyed from season one, which is a point where there is a something goes wrong. There is a catastrophic failure, and the questioning of why that failure happened, which I found really fascinating, because it's this idea that, yeah, we can engineer people into a pod living on the moon or whatever, but there's still an issue with politics and there's still an issue with cutting corners and shit like that. And I was like, huh, yeah, right.
Well, there's a question for everyone who has watched it, not you, Quinny, to stew over, which is, who's the real enemy in each season? Like, in season one, the enemy is obviously the Russians. But in season two, that changes slightly. And in season three, I even have an opinion on that. But I mean, you can just stew on it.
I don't even know if you can really call it enemy. Like,
oh, yeah. 100%.
It's rivalry.
Oh, no. I'm sorry. Oh, I just Rob hated the plot line about the political machinations. I'm sorry, Rob, but I disagree. I think it's absolutely necessary.
Yeah. Anyway, like, all right. We've seen the trailer for season one. Should we talk about season one? We'll get stuck in it.
I think we have been talking about season one.
No, but I mean,
no,
you know what
I
mean?
Like, spoilers.
It's like specifically for season one.
Mrs. Robinson plot. Three,
it focuses very heavily
on... Yeah, you're not up to that yet, Grinny.
On Joel Kinnaman's Ed Baldwin, the top astronaut, and Gordo... one of the other top astronauts, and them being the absolute king swinging dick you know?
Oh, yeah. There's a lot of that.
Cool guys who eventually get outclassed and outpaced by all of the amazing women that come into this show, which I'm totally down for, including my favorite, which is Molly Cobb.
Oh, yeah.
Who gets only, Quinny, she only gets better. Like, there's one for you. She only gets cooler, I've got to say.
She is based on real-life airwoman Geraldine Cobb.
Yep. Oh, nice.
Yeah, who never got to be an astronaut, which in real life, it's sad. No. But, you know, like, it's focused. I love that it focuses on these, you know, astronauts who are, like, that's their thing. They're the only ones who can do it. And then suddenly it's thrust into this, actually. Because Russia's pushing the envelope in this, Russia reaches the moon first. Russia's the first person to have a woman in space. And America starts ramping up, you know, to try
purely
and catch
one-upmanship.
Yeah. Just to try. At the time, they just try to keep pace. Like, Russia is the leader in this field, in this series. And it's interesting watching it from an American side about them just trying to keep pace with it. And then also matching their private lives and the cost that it has on families and relationships in the background, and then political intrigue. As a side note, while you're watching these people do basically Top Gun school.
Yeah. Yes. That's true.
And I fucking hated all of the dude astronauts. Like, Ed Baldwin's a dickhead. Gordo is just a terrible man. And then eventually it all starts coming home to roost for them. And I'm like,
On. Pete has opinions on that.
No, go for it. I want to know. Tell me.
There are character arcs.
Yeah, absolutely.
Some people are terrible and then they become less terrible.
Yes. Sure.
Yes.
Because, you know, they make an effort and realize that they've been dickheads.
I know.
Everybody is very easy to empathize with, though. Like, I had no problem getting on board with the characters. I mean, some characters I straight out disliked, but that was because they did their job really well.
I like having some characters that you can sort of you start going, oh, I love Werner von Braun, he's great, and that's
what,
like,
a lovely guy. Oh,
he's actually Nazi. Oh, yeah. Terrible.
Based on actual real life Nazi. Yeah, von Braun.
And I mean, if you knew your history going in, you're like, oh no, he's going to be a bad guy.
And you know, Margot, who I absolutely, you know, I was really connecting with in the first season, and that changes later. But I will not stand Margot. there's a contentious one for people who've seen season 2 and 3. I am not Margot.
I want to shout out to the chat who asked the question: is it more interesting than Ad Astra? And thankfully, Doc Forrest has swung on in with, anything is more interesting than Ad Astra.
Ad Astra, terrible.
Ad nauseum.
Ad Astra is okay. But this is better than Ad Astra.
Dion, we had to record that review twice and it was bad both times.
Fucking hell. Am I the one who forgot the water on the moon? For fuck's sake, just let it go. Fred is worrying. Ad Astra, what a great podcast. We had to record twice because I forgot to press record.
Yeah.
Anyway.
That's an old show. It's in the archive. That's in the oubliette.
Yes. This show is good. So yeah, season one, we get introduced to all the characters and introduced to the setting. There's some great fucking moments. The moment that, like, you know, the Americans first get to the moon is one of those fucking tension moments where you're like.
But they still kept the core team of Neil Armstrong, Buzz Aldrin, and Michael Collins. You know, that was cool. They kept those guys in there. But that was the only time you ever see them. Yeah. They did their thing and then they were out.
Which makes sense because build up other characters that you can do what you want with.
Yeah.
I mean, it was good. Like, first season had a good arc, I think, because America had lost the race to the moon, then they wanted to be the first people to get a base on the moon and to figure out a way of it being sustainable. And I thought that provided all of the great pieces of tension that you could want for in like a character sort of seasonal arc, including the faceless Russians. You never really get to see the Russians because it's always kind of like, oh, you know, they don't have a humanizing factor. And I really love that that is a consistent theme for a lot of it up until somewhere in season two, which I will not talk about.
Feel free to just kind of talk about it because I really...
yes, I don't know. Everyone's in there just like, hi, Bob, I know.
And then move into
the
spoiler section and then have a free-for-all.
Yeah,
sure.
I think that's so that anybody who is listening and anyone in the chat who hasn't watched it can opt out, because I would really say it's really worth watching and spoilers will make the experience less fun.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. I think this is a great way of doing it because essentially we're giving you the option as to how much you want to get spoiled or how many seasons worth of stuff you want to get spoiled for.
Sure.
Yeah, fair enough.
Yeah, okay. because we're not going to hold, like, I have to tell you about my nightmares, so we're not going to hold back.
Oh, same.
Jesus.
Yeah. Okay. I thought Peter was weird for having dreams about it until I had a dream about it. And I'm like, oh, fuck.
Did your dream involve a black panther eating somebody's head? Or?
Oh, no.
In space, no one can hear you scream because of physics. Yeah.
Science. Not even,
yeah. It's like, well, that person's just never around anymore forever. Okay.
Are we rating based on three seasons?
Yes.
Each season.
No. Don't make more math happen. Unless you want to rate each one individually, and then you have to give Quinny the average that he needs.
Yeah, that's what I'm about to do.
Sure.
Oh, Jesus Christ. Okay.
I'm just going to pick one number.
Okay. Okay. I mean, I can just put the fucking numbers in. It's fine. You can do season one, season two, season three, if you want.
I'm going to go just to help get it starting off. I'm going to give it 90. Because I have enjoyed every season and the way it ramps. And sure, there are bits that I'm disappointed with, and I kind of had a bit more fun in the first season and the second season. And third was a bit eh, but I'm invested with everyone now, and I think it's actually really great television and a great reminder of that if you just work fucking together, you can accomplish amazing things and stop putting your own egos ahead of human expansion and achievement. There you go.
Yeah, the Selfish Pricks Club, as Molly Cobb says.
Absolutely. Season three is the Selfish Pricks Club.
Yeah. I am giving an average of 87 because I rate the first two seasons higher than season three. Got to say.
Okay.
Mars was a little bit boring.
Shut up, spoilers.
That's okay. I know they go to Mars.
It's literally on the poster.
Yeah, I've seen the posters. I know where we're at. It's okay.
They even said it in season one. It's not really a spoiler when they're like, we're going to go to the moon, and then we're going to go to Mars, and then we're going to go to Saturn, and then we're going to go to the galaxy. It's like, that's the 5-year season arc.
Yeah. But honestly, like, the drama in season three was so contrived and was starting to get a bit soap opera that I was like, I'm a little bit out.
Oh, no.
I'm a little bit out, guys. And I'm like, and you want to do another, what, three seasons after this? I'm like, not if it's going to be this dull.
They've got to get rid of some of the cast.
A lot of the cast are going to have to eventually die out.
Yeah, just for age.
Yeah, they're not even going to be, like, age appropriate to be doing space travel.
Yeah, there's no reason. There's no way they'd get cleared for flight. Like, NASA would be like, you're 86. You're not an astronaut anymore.
Yeah, sorry, Ed. You're going to retirement home.
I don't know if they could put fucking William Shatner on a spacecraft.
In like the upper stratosphere. He was not in space.
I know. It wasn't really. He went weightless for 20 seconds and probably felt sick, and that was it.
I do that coasting over speed bumps. Like,
yeah.
Do you want to feel 0G? Get into my car.
Predakanga makes a very interesting point that we will come back to.
Okay.
I don't know. It makes it sound like he didn't get to season three yet, but all right.
Okay, if we are going to reference it.
Ratings.
I wanted to do the ratings. Quietly waiting to...
I basically agree with everything Jill said, and I also came to 87, but I didn't do math. That's just the number that I came up with. Season three didn't get me as much, and I think, you know, it was partly because after season two I just couldn't, but partly for all of the reasons Jill said, like it just, the action didn't quite hit the same in season three. 3, and also it gave me nightmares. So I can't go higher than 87 for something that makes me literally lose sleep. But the fact that it made me lose sleep meant that it achieved its goal. It's a very mean television show. Like, it does not want you to be happy.
No.
Not a lot of happy endings.
Because it's like, well, that's like, it's achieved its goal of making me extremely stressed. Well done. And I'm fully aware that it's fake. Like, yeah. I am fully aware that these characters are made up and none of these things have happened. And yet I lost sleep.
Oh, my God. But if someone said to me, hey, you want to go to space? I'd be like, nope.
Oh, yeah. I've always here. Had, like, that's been a long-running fear of mine. I couldn't see gravity at the cinema because I was just like,
I like atmosphere.
No.
I'll keep atmosphere, thanks.
Well, it's cold out here. There's no kind of atmosphere.
I'm all alone, more or less.
That's kind of season 3 of...
oh, God, really? Fucking hell.
A little bit, because it's just a bit like, we're on Mars, so far away from everything forever.
right.
Yeah, yeah. When they all start to realize, oh shit, the moon was a cakewalk compared to fucking Mars.
Right.
Our next supply is 7 years.
Oh, Jesus.
Bye. It's like fucking hell.
Okay. I'm going to rate it based on the episodes that I've seen, which at the moment I really think it's a really spectacular show. Like, the effort that it goes to in trying to set a period and give a feeling, the technicality of it, that, yeah, when you're on the moon, I firmly believe they're on the fucking moon. I know they're not. I know that it's in a studio somewhere, much like the actual moon landing. But
they just use
I was
the
watching
same...
the show and I'm like, no wonder people think that it could have been filmed. Like, this looks pretty immaculate.
Yeah, I know,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, yeah. Kubrick's just like, oh, I did this decades ago.
Yeah.
Yeah, a lot of practice. Yeah, they had the volume when Kubrick was doing it.
Wow.
Who is also, you know, interested in the science part of the sci-fi, they actually have a podcast that breaks down the science from each episode, which I have not listened to, so I cannot recommend. I kind of like that they have that separate element.
I'm really interested that you brought that up, because I'm really kind of fascinated in it, but I'm having the same thing as, what was the Greg McLean movie about the crocodile that they did?
Rogue.
Where they made this ridiculously, stupidly large crocodile that was the rogue crocodile that was attacking people in the Northern Territory. And it wasn't until I was talking to him and he's like, oh, yeah, we based that on a real crocodile, which was bigger, but we couldn't make it work. But it was actually caught and it was bigger, you know, than the one they put in the movie. And that's what I sort of feel like listening to that podcast about the science. You'd probably be like, this was a very terrifying, intense scene. And you know, a scientist would break it down and be like, oh, no, this is way more terrifying.
It's much worse. You know?
Yeah. You know,
this whole thing where they managed to make an atmosphere scrubber, they couldn't have done that. And they would have just slowly suffocated about 5 minutes. You would have been like, oh, shit, okay, right, yeah. Cool. You know.
Yeah.
That's my fear of that. But thank you for the podcast recommendation. I may go from.
Do you know what it's called, Pete? Or is it? Like...
It's For All Mankind.
It's called For All Mankind, the official podcast.
Okay, cool. I will
just, you know, if I believe it does break down, particularly the first season, it does break down the science. So if you nerd out about that kind of stuff, it might be fun to listen, to watch an episode, then listen to the podcast that breaks it down.
I'm fascinated by the science, but I mean, as much as anything else, I'm watching it for the filmmaking. You know, as I said, I love the fact that they change the style of the cameras, they change the way they shoot it, depending on the decade that they're in. And yes, the fashion around the house and everything, you know, changes, and that's what you'd expect. But when I'm looking at it thinking, that's a 70s lens. That's, you know, the amount of bloom on it, the amount of light and everything like that. That's a 70s lens and that's fucking cool.
My favorite thing is like when you see something floating in space and then it zooms in, but it kind of like autofocuses and then it will like drop out a little bit because they got too close. Like that shit's just really cool to look at.
Well, I remember Ronald D. Moore was doing that a bit of that back in Battlestar Galactica. And once again, we must remember Ronald D. Moore has got some pretty fucking good pedigree in making science fiction TV shows and trying to ground it in some feeling of reality. And I think one of the reasons that Battlestar was as successful is because it wasn't Star Trek. It wasn't kind of utopian sci-fi or anything like that. It was like, here are grunts and people who have politics and have problems who just happen to be in space. And that's kind of what he's doing here. Just, it's a little bit closer to home. I also think, and I know that we're going to go to a clip, it reminds me a little bit of The Man in the High Castle.
See, I still haven't watched that, but yeah, another alternative history.
Yeah.
I think the difference between this and The Man in the High Castle for me, well, two different main differences, is that Man in the High Castle kind of had that kind of supernaturally kind of element to it, but also just because of the period in history, it didn't feel real in the way that this feels real and makes you forget in moments what's real and what's not real.
Just because it portals in the 40s proximity of the
timeline
really,
to us.
The science fiction uses that that we could get enough people to work together to make something happen.
Almost science fact.
Like I said, it feels like a sci-fi that starts in the past. And I've never seen that before, a sci-fi that starts in our past specifically. And I think that, you know, is very cool and very appealing if you're interested in sci-fi. And if you're interested in history, it's also a fun watch because you kind of get to do the, oh, I know what they're referencing and I know how they've changed that. And I've recommended it to my mum because she is like a nerd for the history of that period. And I think that she'll get a kick out of how they've tinkered with it.
Nice. Dee, let's have us a clip and
the clips that I have are, you know, the trailer for season two. I just want to make sure the season one was covered off. I mean, there's so much more to talk about that they do touch on in season one. But then I have something that's very much a spoiler, and then there's a trailer for season three. So I'm just going to be careful about that now. But look, I'll go play the quick trailer for season two, and then we'll come back and talk a little bit about that and hopefully not, you know, ruin it for Quinny.
Welcome to NASA. You are, as of this moment, officially astronaut candidates.
Someday people will write the history of this time.
This is Jamestown Actual.
10 seconds, mark.
They will say that during the coldest depths of the Cold War, America inspired the world. Sweet dreams
are made of these. I give you Pathfinder. It's three times as powerful as our current shuttles.
I'm tired of talking about the good old days. Don't y'all miss it?
With this weapon, I could drop munitions on any point on Earth.
The president wants you to put together a new mission.
I shouldn't go.
You don't think I noticed the look in your eyes at every launch?
Hoorah.
I have here the rules of engagement for use of force on the moon.
That's steps away from nuclear war. Target lock.
Once we do this thing, there's no going back.
This program has the power to change the world.
You need to remind them of Apollo 11. We came in peace for all mankind.
Ready to fire.
We need to live up to that.
Season two, or as I like to call it, Guns in Space!
Bad idea. Bad idea.
Guns in general are just a bad idea.
Yeah. Come on, like if season one was one of those things about, oh my God, here is the push to get out there and to reinvigorate the American exceptionalism. Or the enemy in that one is the Russians. This is what I said. Season two is the enemy is the conflict between a political narrative and a scientific exploration narrative that's running currently for NASA. And that's what
there is no enemy. It's just two people super paranoid about the other.
We know this, but that's the ridiculous point of that season, which is like we're putting guns on the thing and everyone's going, this is
we need to do it first or they're going to do it. Like that's just the argument throughout every season. Yeah,
it's literally
we have
like,
to do it now. They're going to do it.
It's a scientific station. We need to focus on it being about science. And then it's like, no, you need guns.
Mexican standoff.
Yeah.
That's the one podcast I want to listen to, because how the fuck did they make a gunfire in space when there is no oxygen to ignite it?
Look, that's why they were special space guns.
Yeah, space bullets. Right.
Yeah, but I want to know how to make a special space gun.
Yeah, you just have to put a little bit of oxygen in the bullet.
You have to what?
You have to put a bit of oxygen in the bullet. I don't know. I'm fucking making shit up. Just how the hell
doesn't work.
What
that's
I know. Am I a scientist? Am I a gun scientist? No.
If your bullet has a little bit of
a gunologist,
a bit of explosive, and the rest of the space is packed with just enough oxygen, and it was probably sealed, it could combust enough, but it probably wouldn't fire them very fast.
I mean, what you need is a super fast projectile that doesn't necessarily have to be an explosion that sets
So you
it
need
off.
A rail
Maybe
gun.
They figured out how to do it mechanically.
You need rail guns. That's they what
should,
you need.
They should I think you're focusing on bullets. You don't actually need to fucking kill someone on the moon.
Sure.
No, you just need to fire things hard enough to fling them.
Yeah. And look, come on. Like, I've got to say, out of the three seasons of TV that For All Mankind has made so far, season two is both the one of the most tense seasons of television, but also the most exciting and has some of the most interesting storylines that go through it. Like, it's literally if one was a setup, two is literally the payoff. It's the second season of fucking amazing. And then the third one
and
is
you
like,
know what?
Oh.
They could have taken the easy way out, and they could have covered Apollo 13. They could have covered Challenger, and they could have covered Columbia, and they did none of those disasters. They made their own.
Yeah. They made moon disasters. Wave of moon. And like I saw that earlier in the chat, we were saying Hi Bob from season one, which is great, like space madness. this time round, like, you know, the Jonestown has, you know, been expanded. There's more than
it's a colony
12
now.
People there, you know, and it's gone really high. And you get like, these are the things that I really liked about it. It made the idea of being on the moon permanently a thing, and then made sure that the rest of the characters were getting their own narratives fleshed out. Like, you know, astronauts that have sort of been past their prime who are going away now, what does it mean for them? Newer astronauts who have to do certain things, or people who've been up, like now it's a bit casual. What does that mean for everyone? Is it a rite of passage now? And then what happens to the interactions between the other colonies and stuff that's on the moon? Because it's not just America.
Is it Jonestown or Jamestown?
Jamestown.
I was going to say, because Jonestown is the massacre.
Jamestown was like the first American colony.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
My bad. I'm bad at American history. I know that Australia's first colony was Shanestown.
And we made it to season one of this show.
And we made a billabong. We put a jumbuck next to it.
Yep, I went there. It wasn't nice, wasn't pleasant, but I went there.
How far are we going to get in here? Jill,
just
Peter,
just get into it.
Us.
Have fun.
In order to tell you about my nightmares, we have to talk about the biggest thing that happens at the very end of season two, and it is a massive spoiler, Quinny.
Well, then, look, I'm happy to take my ears out and play with some toys.
Just do that. Right. Do that, because it is a massive spoiler, and, you know, we don't want to do these things. In fact, the whole clip that I could play is a massive fucking spoiler. So I'm
And you gonna... can you can also play that clip, because I
clip
will
is
just
a
take
spoiler.
My ears out.
The clip is a spoiler, but it's not like the
I'll take my ears out and I won't see it. So it's okay.
Take your ears out now. Take your ears out now. Come on, Corinne. We'll wave at you when you're ready to come back.
Okay. Okay. Thank you, everybody.
You have been warned, listeners. You have been warned. Give me 5 minutes. Skip forward if you have to, because fuck me, this fucked me up so badly. Of course, I already have like I have like weird space fears. Like,
yeah,
you know, anything to do with like being, you know, in space alone and unprotected has always freaked me out. It's like, you know,
are you on
horrible
the, get
movie
on, get your ears off, Quinnie.
Okay, I'm going by.
Jesus fucking Christ. All right. Holy
that,
shit.
That
was
movie
that
with
tense?
The boat and the storm and Marky Mark, where like at the end of the movie, he's just like in the ocean with nothing. Like gives me nightmares. I just can't handle that stuff. So like, I'm sorry, Tracy and Gordo.
But they saved, everyone.
Aside from the fact that I couldn't get to sleep after the episode because I just like, I couldn't get the images out of my head.
Yeah.
Then I had horrible nightmares about it.
Oh no.
And I couldn't watch the show anymore because it was just horrendous.
Well, I mean,
and that is fair enough.
But how were you with the episode before, like the episodes before that, which is when the Russians start shooting at the fucking base?
No. I was like just panicking the whole time. I'm pretty sure I got off the sofa and I was like, oh shit. Oh, this is no good. And then there's like literal like warfare happening within the colony with everybody with their fucking guns. Yep. And then the nuclear reactor gets a bullet through it. I'm like, oh, fucking
of course
great.
That's going to happen.
Why is there
but also,
plutonium on the moon?
Absolutely.
Well, that's what they were wondering.
And that was
thought
what,
that was a good idea.
That was what this whole thing was between a military application, which was in, like pushed by the government versus the exploration mechanism that, you know, NASA was trying to do. It's like when it became that's what I thought was the interesting thing. Like the enemy in this is politics versus science.
Yeah. You know. And paranoia.
Yeah.
Yeah, because like a lot of the antagonism that happens in this is based on pure paranoia. There's no actual threat at any moment except for dying when there's no air in space. Like,
yeah. Look,
my other issue also is that I was so on board with Gordo by the end of like season two.
Yeah,
I was like,
he
you
had
know
a
what?
Great,
he's come good.
He had a great character development. I knew he was going to die because once you put someone back into space that has been out of the game for 10 years, that's a red flag.
After having a nervous breakdown in space.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like that was not a good idea. And Ed, what the hell were you thinking? But also like for poor Deke as well at the end of season one, where I'm like, yeah, that guy's going to die.
Yeah. I mean, look, that's what I said. Like season two was a great season arc. Like everything kind of important about it came through.
Yeah.
And it had that redemption thing of, I think it was said earlier, you know, Daniel Poole comes out to do the handshake to re-knit that bond after, you know, we could have quite easily started World War III on the moon, which is literally something I believe would happen. Like, you know, somehow
well,
in the future.
The Apollo Soyuz was a real docking mechanism. The call it, thingy that happened, and they did the handshake. But in history, it was Deke that was on board the Apollo that did the handshake, which is like really cool. Because I mean, like his whole story arc of the atrial fibrillation was like a real thing, but then he did get medical clearance and he was on board the Apollo, which is cool.
And like that's another thing that I really like that they talk about. Like even in geopolitical terms, when East met West in the show, it still made it interesting to figure out how they worked together when they were surrounded by so much strange and aggressive behavior towards each other. It's like, how do these people of science want to work together to solve the problem, even though they're hamstrung by the fact that their governments are fuckheads?
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
That was good.
Can we bring Quinny back?
Sure. We finished that one now, so we've got a wave. Yeah. But, I mean, Quinny, he's on his phone and we don't care about his phone.
I also want to talk about Danny,
then,
but I think we can do that without doing any major spoilers.
I think that they would actually show the cheese cave on the moon in season two.
I mean, they hinted at it in season one, let's be honest. Like when you find the ice cave, surely the cheese cave is just around the corner.
Yes, unfortunately.
And then there's the crisper cave at the bottom that's still got juice from all of the vegetables.
Oh, Christ.
No, sorry. Sorry to disappoint you, Critty. In season two, they do not find cheese on the moon.
Thwacking toast, though, Gromit.
Yeah, look, season two, great follow-up. Some parts, you know, not great. Like, you know, you can't have gold out of everything. I think there was a comment earlier about, oh, the space influence or astronaut influencer kind of storyline was a bit
Mrs.
weird.
Robinson.
Kind of.
That, yeah, we won't spoil that for you, Quinny.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. I have issues. Like, one of the things that make me sad about the series is Danny's whole arc at the moment, because mm-hmm. it's just kind of got to the point where I'm like, somebody look after that kid. Like,
yeah.
what is wrong with you people? And also, yeah. like, who is in charge of inventory and space opioids? Because, like, I just don't believe that any kind of, like...
That's a season three spoiler. Come on.
That's okay.
Well, no, I'm not saying things in a spoilery way. I'm just saying who is in charge of keeping inventory of the space opioids?
They needed, yes, but they also needed to...
and who is prescribing Oxy for cut?
They needed to reference the opioid
it's in the name,
crisis.
It's Oxycutting.
But I have an explanation for that.
I know it's a reference to the whole.
No, I have an explanation thing. As to why there's no oversight for that kind of thing, because you got to remember, and Quinny, maybe you just want to blah. Look, there are two distinct things going
on
here.
Not our fault.
Yeah, there's two distinct things going on here. You have the private industry who have all the bells and whistles and everything that anyone could ever want. That's kind of thing. Like, you know, and then you have the government agency, which is kind of working at pure science, push the limits of what we can do, but on the cheapest way, because they're focused on science. Whereas the other one, they have everything. And so they don't have any oversight, but they've got all the funding and that's also a problem.
Oh, Helios. Yeah.
Helios. Yeah. Yeah.
I'm also going to bet if you lined it up historically with when in America misprescribing Oxy became a big issue, it would probably
be the 90s.
Line up because it's, yeah.
It's all right. We can come back, Quinny.
It's all right,
I don't think what Dion said was very spoiled.
No, but I just didn't want to... Because I didn't want him to get... I don't want him to know anything at all. I'm going to walk into this and be like,
yeah,
holy shit!
Yeah, I mean, I know, and I'm sorry.
Especially that one part in season three, which is so fucking tense because, like, you just the two spaceships, and then there's a roll, and it's like, oh,
we'll definitely have to talk about that in a minute. But like, anything else you want to discuss about season two, or should we?
I kind of get the feeling from you guys talking that season two is kind of your peak season.
Yeah,
pretty
yeah.
much.
Yeah.
Right, so season one's your build up. Yeah. It's the one that sets the ground and kind of tells you where you're at. Season two is where you go and you play.
And Jill, was I right about not watching that specific episode right before bedtime?
Yeah, and did I do it anyway? Yes.
Oh. Jill's like, I'm up to this bit, and I don't know if I should stay up and watch it. I was like, no, you need to sleep. You should not do that. She's like, it's only an hour. And I'm like, you'll be awake for more than an hour. Like,
I thought it was only an hour. It turned out to be an hour and 20 minute finale. Okay. And it was very crucial to a lot of the story. And it was very stressful and very traumatizing. And I cried, and but I did it. Don't regret it.
Yeah, season two is kind
of crying.
So much. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So much.
Season two is kind of a nice balance of action and still intrigue. So Quinny, I highly recommend season two. If you enjoyed season one, get on to season two, and you don't have to wait.
Can you maybe bring it for me sometime?
Do you want to do the season two clip?
Do you want to do the season two clip or the season three trailer? Like, I mean, this Quinny, you're gonna have to shut
your
eyes.
How much longer do we want to keep talking about it?
Well, I mean, you know, I think we've already talked about the tension of the scene that we were talking about. So we'll leave it
so
to
let's
to
do
there.
The season three trailer.
We're banging on a bit, I know, but we've got one more season to get through. So let's go to the season three trailer and then come back and do season three and then crank it out of here.
Okay.
There's a primal urge in all of us to explore.
Some say private citizens have no business in space exploration.
I emphatically disagree.
We have a historic opportunity. The first mission to Mars.
NASA's joining Helios and the Soviets.
A three-way race to Mars.
We're not going to come in second place again to anyone.
We're talking about discovering life on another planet. It'll change our concept of who we are, where we're going. Black holes.
Massive dust storm has obscured both landing sites. Years, even decades of planning comes down to this moment.
We're landing blind. Brace for impact.
Being first is what it's all about.
This is the resource that can support large-scale human colonization.
Want to tell us where the water is?
The survival of my crew depends on it.
When united behind a common goal, there is nothing we cannot achieve.
It's only the beginning.
Who doesn't love a little bit of Soundgarden?
No, we've talked about the representation in this in terms of women and people of color being involved in the plot in a way that they wouldn't have been mm-hmm. if this were a straight historical fiction. But we haven't talked about the queer representation in this yet because it is a big part of the story, and it's a big part of a couple of the key characters, and it's one of the things that Dion was talking about, where some things get better, other things seem to get much worse.
I wrote the ticker that says speculative fiction deems lack of bigotry unrealistic. So that's one thing that I kind of wish had changed pace along with like equal women's rights. And it was sorely overlooked.
I must admit that, like, when you are looking towards a future, and you know, you were kind of, and maybe that was the thing that Ronald and his co-writers and everything were trying to say, is that in the race towards technological future, if it is driven by the military and driven by, you know, unhealthy driving forces, that the people who suffer are actually or marginalized are the ones like the LGBT community and so forth. Maybe. I don't know. Well, I also really like shows where, you know, nice things happen to gay people.
Yeah. I mean, like, if you're going to do an alternative history, why not include representation for all people?
Yeah,
not just some people.
Well, it's not to say that there is no queer representation in the show. There are queer characters, but the timeline hasn't
give
changed.
Them a nicer time than what they have had to deal with.
Yeah, I do think that it's interesting the way it's been dealt with in the show, because it feels unexpected, because other things that are more socially progressive are happening. And I don't know if it's, you know, it's wrong to say that, and that's got worse. It hasn't got worse. The attitude towards queerness is pretty much tracking along with history.
Yeah, it didn't progress at the same rate as everything else.
Which is really, but what's interesting about that is it's not being ignored. Like, key characters are gay and have to figure out how to, you know, navigate that in the plot, and it becomes a massive plot point in season 3. So I do feel like next season we're going to see that part of the history start changing as well, which
Let's hope.
Interesting.
Yeah. I mean, this kind of also, like, I'm not defending it at all in that kind of say. I just like seeing that it's not presenting the utopian version of history. Like, as in, it's not saying this timeline that we're putting on the screen isn't necessarily better than the one we have. It's just showing how changes could happen and how things could have happened and how sometimes they could have been better. But, you know, it would have been even better had we not forgotten about this side.
Yeah, but yeah. Like another element of the queer storyline in season three that kind of like really annoyed me was the gender disparity within the queer storyline as well. Like the male queer character seems to get away with a lot more than the female queer character is allowed to. And there was a lot of that stuff that just made me so mad.
Yeah. Mm. I feel like it was supposed to though. Like, I feel like you're supposed to get
it's so hard in such a giant like show to actually be successful with every kind of story that they're trying to tell. Like, I mean, there's a lot that's in season three that's interesting, which is what about mentorship and legacy and, you know, children and how people are represented and, cognitive decline in older people. Like there's a whole bunch of there's sub stories in season three that aren't really to the future. Or that they're in there, but it's interesting because you kind of watch them and you're like, oh, that's interesting. Oh, but that's gone. Because that's not actually what we're talking about. What we're talking about is Mars.
And certainly I would love to see that, you know, by the time we roll around into the 2000s, that is probably when the world had started to, grow and accept queer representation a lot more. Maybe that will be a payoff. And maybe that will then, you know, put a few more queer writers on staff and hopefully give them their dues, because when you're talking about it and you're saying the male, the queer male character, the queer female character, it feels like it's not enough.
There's more than one. There's just one particular storyline involving these two people, but there is a lot more representation in season three than in season one and two. It does, again, in the clever way that it does, cover actual historical events within the context of the new history that they're building in terms of like don't ask, don't tell and that kind of stuff. So again, I kind of thought it's interesting how they're handling that and weaving it through. Mm. It's probably my favorite thing about the show. Just those little things where I'm like, oh, I see what you did there. Oh, I remember that. I mean, there's a particular image at the very end of season three that I'll be very vague about right now.
I just want to say. Ellen came out in the 90s, but it's not the Ellen you think.
Yeah, so thank you for that.
Sorry, Peter.
Oh, that's a beautiful crossover.
Thank you for the props to my girl, Madison.
Oh, we all love Madison. Oh, apart from Peter, who may have left us.
Well, my connection's really.
Yeah, she may have left this mortal plane. But
how am I doing? Am I back?
You're back. Yes. You're still there.
Okay. There's an image at the very end of the last season that again, like kind of everything else in the show, it is its own thing. It's something that has like only happened in this fictional world, but the imagery that they use is immediately brings to mind an actual historical event that happened that same year.
Yes.
That is a very, very famous image that just kind of, again, kind of goes to show that it is an alternate history, but they're running it so close to our timeline that it just, again, feels so real and like, oh, I recognise that from my history. Just for that, even though season three wasn't as compelling, just for that stuff, I will watch again. I will keep going.
Yeah, definitely. Like then paying little homages or little nods to actual historical events, and I think that's quite clever in this storytelling as well.
You may not get in this version of reality a Bill Clinton, but it may be someone with a similar problem to Bill Clinton.
I did also like it came up a bit earlier in the chat there, and Quinny, there's not very much a spoiler, it's just more of a little teaser for you for season three. The whole series has so far been really focused around American and Russian, and they're the only ones who are involved in this entire thing. And about three quarters of the way through season three, it takes a real big turn by adding another country into it.
And someone was first on Mars, but it's not who you think.
Yeah, but it's not who you think. Which I just.
It was Madison?
It was Madison.
That's amazing.
She was there with Wongers.
So Wongers, what do you think of Mars?
I really like that was at least, you know, because it was, you know, America, and I love that they changed. It's not really NASA. Well, it's NASA and corporate America, and that's in the trailer. So
Amazon.
NASA, Amazon, the Russians all running to get to Mars, and when they get there and they have all of their fun bullshit that they all worry about themselves, then they realize they weren't actually the first people there. And there
I'm excited. I just want to see whether or not any of the stuff that happened in Red Planet plays out. Like, are there their little monsters?
Yes, Val Kilmer is still on Mars. he was there. He was the first person on Mars.
Amazing.
And he was representing the island nation of Barbados. No,
I personally want. I want the space force of the Jamaicans, the really cool silent runnings.
It's kind of actually, Quinny. It's kind of like that. Like it is kind of like, holy shit, you were here?
How did Hang on, is it the Wakandans? Wakanda forever. Anyway. Wakanda in space, anyway.
It was Matt Damon.
Hey, was, excellent. Yeah,
he was already there growing potatoes out of his own shit.
Excellent.
But yeah, like season three is somewhat a weaker story.
Yeah, and also they relied so much on soap opera drama, and I was just not living
I'm
for it.
I'm very happy for Karen to stop having a storyline now.
Oh, God. Yeah. I hate Karen. I did not like her in season one because she was so anti-feminist. I did not enjoy her character arc in season two.
I loved her arc because she, you know, basically
because
made
it was predatory.
She made friends with an artist and discovered drugs when she was a 50s housewife. So
I mean, she mellowed out, but I still don't like her.
No, she's still a terrible person.
Yeah.
Like she's an awful person, but you know.
Like when she goes around to an artist's house who's, you know, struggling with exactly the strain. I was just like, "Oh, get the fuck out, you a horrible, horrible woman.
Oh, yeah.
Let the man smoke his doob in peace."
But I loved that gender flip reversal thing of, like, it was all about the wives of the astronauts were always worried. And then when they've turned out, they've got a husband of one of the female astronauts. And that was a nice twist of them all going, oh, shit, right, we don't have ownership of this particular thing because there are men out there who are on the same page and not expected to be.
Danielle's husband too, you know, absolutely. Who's dealing with post-traumatic stress from Vietnam. And you're like, oh, wow, yeah, right, okay. And I love that. I love that they're looking at all of the shit that's happening in the time and finding ways to at least explore it, question it, see how it impacts on the other people around them.
Yeah, I think, I think like ultimately I feel like I have had enough of the Baldwins and the Stevenses now. They're kind of like, you know, the Bushes and the, I don't know, the Clintons or something, or even the Trumps. It's like, enough now. Your family has had enough storylines. Move on.
I don't know how we're going to introduce a new generation of people. We haven't really been building that up.
Yeah, we could if we're going to get more countries on Mars.
Quinny, can you take your headbands out for just a second? Okay, let's talk about the fucking bullshit of getting pregnant on Mars and being shot out of a MSAT to a fucking space station that's orbiting. Kind of, like, God damn it. What kind of, like, pandering are they doing in season three? Like, it's bad enough that it's like, oh, do I tell my mentor that I slept with his wife, or do I tell him that I was the one that caused the accident that almost killed him, or do we just let his pregnant daughter that's having a child with a dead Russian cosmonaut give birth on Mars? Like, fuck me, season three was bullshit.
It's just it's just fun. I liked it.
I hated it. It was so far from like any of the science fact that we had in seasons one or two. It was starting to get into bullshit territory.
Sure. I know. Like,
I had a lot more questions in season three than I had in the other two seasons.
But you know what? It's kind of like the 90s. The 90s was a bunch of bullshit territory. So like thematically, I'll agree with it. You know. Anyway, you come back now, Q.
You can come back with
okay.
you.
Yeah, I do have a question to ask you guys about the 90s. Sure. Does this show do the 90s better than the third X-Men movie, Apocalypse?
Oh,
God, yes.
Yeah. I mean, I thought that the...
I don't even remember that being set in the 90s.
I thought the flannel shirt tied around the waist of the astronauts was great. Like, it's a lovely nod.
Nice.
And, yeah, you know, outside 90s. The suit.
The grunge motif to the...
And they were wearing Doc Martens.
Space suit was nice. Amazing. But, you know, the rest of it, I was a bit like, But yeah, I agree, Predakanga. I have forgotten everything that had to do with Alien, X-Men Apocalypse. What the fuck was that?
Oh, sorry.
I love that we still had like pop culture references in this show. So like the Alien movie still got made.
Yeah.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Yep.
See, that's awesome because
it kind of blows my mind that like with the progressiveness of the space happenings in this show that we're still making sci-fi movies kind of blows me away.
Interesting.
Anyway,
And Rob's telling me that X-Men Apocalypse was set in the 80s.
Who knows? Okay. Well, who cares? It was shit anyway.
Yeah, exactly. And it could go back to wherever the fuck it came from because it was terrible.
The only thing set in the 90s was the animated X-Men, and that's getting a reboot, so... We'll see how that goes. Does it recapture it now? Is it weird that the 90s is now the hit that sweet spot of like, the 90s was amazing. It's like, they've done the 80s now and we're going to move into the 90s, huh?
Thanks. I thought the 90s was cringe.
Yeah, no doubt.
Almost as bad as the early 2000s.
Yeah, for a Jill. No doubt.
I don't know what bussin' means and I feel old.
I don't know. Is it what kind of bussing? Is it straight bussing or
fuck off?
not in Sydney at the moment because it's a whole bunch of cancelled bussing. Public transport is an ass.
Is that German? Is this the cancelled bussing?
Yeah. Look, I think
and Doc Forrest, I hate to tell you, but Hypercolor should have been a thing. It was an amazing thing.
I love Hypercolor.
Love me some fucking Hypercolor. The only problem with Hypercolor was that if you were a lady or a man of a certain size, there was always this thing where you just got weird, hot-looking tits. It was this, and you're like, maybe that's not the thing that they were going for with that,
you know what, that technology. They may have made a bunch of kinks from some kids looking at that going, why is that? I like that. What's going on? Mm.
Everybody held their hands on their boobs to get the Hypercolor thing to change.
It true.
So anyway, we got a sting at the end of season three that we are jumping into 2003 for season four. And I did a little bit of reading and the writers say that they want to focus more on the Russians in the next season.
Oh, good.
Well, I'm actually intrigued by that because I think there is an entire alternate story there, which is about, you know, the history of those who got there first. And, you know, the whole thing could very easily be an exploration of the alternate version of this. That's a cool idea.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Especially because, well, and once again, because I'm not up to speed, I don't know whether in this one, you know, we get the kind of dissolution of the USSR and, you know, all that kind of stuff. So the Russia of 2003 that we know is probably very little in common with the Russia of 2003 in this version of reality.
Interesting. I'm going to let that one play out. You can have all the wild crackpot theories you want about season two and season three, Quinny, but we know.
Okay, cool. Where would you like to see it go? Let's you know, really kind of
Saturn spitball. And then the galaxy beyond.
Well, that's the thing. Like the writers were saying that, yes, their whole prerogative is that the seasons skip by decades. So they are going to end up overtaking our current timeline and get into a speculative future.
Oh, and it's just a straight prequel to Interstellar.
Yeah, I don't know where that's going to go. Straight into Matthew McConaughey. Kind of weird to me because I got so on board with it being historical, and now that it's starting to catch up, I'm losing a little bit of interest because I'm like, I don't want to see stories about my current time. Like, I was digging the past stuff, so I don't know how I feel about future.
I'm not sure I'd like to be watching For All Mankind and I see, you know, President Trump get elected. I'm like, oh God, no, that's...
Oh, please remove that from the alternative history.
Yeah. That's not what I want here.
As Rob says, there is the moon's orbiting Saturn and Jupiter and so forth. That, I mean, it starts to run into the areas of 2001 or 2010, you know, in 2010, they go to Europa, which is one of the moons of Jupiter, which is probably mostly made of water.
Yeah.
You know, and there's also a shit sci-fi movie called The Europa Project, I think, which is great because it's just, there's aliens on Europa. Ooh.
Yeah. Oh, the issue I have with that kind of stuff is that it takes so long to get there that it's not as quick as getting to Mars. I don't really know how it's going to play out.
I just want to, I also love that it's all speculation. Like, we're guessing too. We don't know.
Yeah.
We don't know where they're going to go with this. I don't know where I want them to go. I just want them to have a satisfying ending.
I just want to see some new characters next season that I like as much as the ones that I have had so far.
Yeah. What about you, Pete? Where you have been suspiciously silent, and I'm never sure it's because your internet's dropped out or you just...
My internet connection is being terrible, so I wasn't sure if you would hear me if I spoke. But I...
Perfect.
Well...
Excellent timing.
We can hear you now.
You're back now.
This is what I have been talking. I'm like, this isn't going to work. Look, there were lots of things left hanging in this last season. So, you know, I'm kind of, we're in a position where we kind of don't know if particular characters have survived certain things. So there are some fairly kind of direct cliffhangers that we're waiting to be resolved. And I'm interested, like, if they do, you know, take it three more decades and we kind of, they pull up next to us and overtake us in our timeline, I'm kind of interested to see if the show kind of evolves from something that feels like history to something that feels like pure sci-fi and what that looks like.
I love the idea of seeing it catch up to us, because if the next one's 2003, so season four is 2003, season five would be 2013. So the next season would be 2025 or something like that, which would probably be about where we're at. I find the idea of showing an alternate history, but an alternate now, interesting, because you could really kind of go, okay, this is the technology we're at now. What if, I love, you know, some of William Gibson's latest novels, which are not sci-fi, they're now-fi. They're here but different, and I think that's cool. Oh, and Rob's saying that one of the characters has to come back as a robot or a cyborg, so yes,
excellent. As long as you get to see those little dogs that from Boston Dynamics with guns attached to
them, those like, things terrify me so
hopping
much.
Around.
I saw a new lot of those that now are out there that are on wheels.
Oh, no.
Cool. So, you know what they remind me of? They remind me of the fucking Wheelers out of Return to Oz, which is one of the most terrifying things in the world.
Those are scary. Look, when you're someone that had daydreams as a child that, you know, haunted you of dolls coming to life in your room, the Boston Dynamics creatures absolutely shit scare me.
Have you seen that?
The one that can fucking open a door, I'm like, no.
Have you seen that one that's basically like a little pogo stick that can jump
the one
that
can jump?
No, it's just kind of like, oh, it's like a hopping Chinese demon.
Like those Chinese demon, yes.
Like, cool. Like, yeah. Can't wait till they attach a gun to that one.
Well, yeah. when they put guns on the fucking dog ones, I was like, oh no. Oh
yeah.
No.
All right. Well,
bad time.
Look, before we get down to that terrifying dystopia of the future as we're trying to think it, get on to For All Mankind. It's a great series, and I look forward to see what they're doing. Apple's still considering to knock it out of the park, including with the absolute gem that is C season 3. I
can't see.
Jean-Claude Van Damme's in this season. It's amazing.
What?
I just thought that
it's like all your Christmases have come at once.
I thought that just may make you get into watching it if I said that Jean-Claude Van Damme's.
I was curious.
Yeah, I was like,
hang on, wait.
No, but Dave Bautista is in season 3, so.
Yeah.
Okay. I mean, I like Dave Bautista, but I don't particularly need him in C.
You leave Drax alone.
He's leaving Drax alone.
Yeah, everyone's leaving Drax alone. All right. So, what's coming up?
Well, next week. Ooh, we're doing something else I still haven't started yet.
Oh no!
Oh, excellent.
Rings of Power.
The Hot Elf Show.
Oh, that's right.
I fucking hate Lord of the Rings.
I'm so
I don't want to start watching it.
Oh yeah, it's really time to get into some appendices of a book that wasn't very well written about the history of the Lord of the Rings,
and spent no dollars of their budget on costumes.
Oh, I don't know. They put a lot of money into fucking.
I think they were nitpicking a few things based on some of it, but like.
There are characters wearing scale mail that is printed on Lycra t-shirts.
Yes, but there are also.
Not actual scale
hundreds
mail.
Of characters. Like, there are like a lot of characters. Not just like, oh, it's these.
Oh, this
seven.
Sounds exhausting.
Maybe they should pick and choose what they do.
Oh, yeah, but like,
it doesn't look like a steaming pile of shit.
Oh.
So this is
it's
why
it's gonna get saucy.
That's what we're here for. We're like, you know, bring your best Balrog, then Jill, next week.
I don't know what that is.
yeah. So okay. For clarification, Jill, you're not into Lord of the Rings at all.
I fucking hate it. I love The Hobbit though.
The film.
Yeah. And I love how that shit saw you Lord of the Rings fans off.
Oh, I'm so angry at Jill right now.
Yeah, and I love it. I feed on it.
I'm just going to let this Pete, let it fester.
Tell me where you're at with Lotter.
I'm not angry at Lord of the Rings. I'm just like, I'm neutral. I'm Lord of the Rings neutral and just I can't be arsed with the Rings of Power at the moment. Like I don't care enough to get into a high fantasy you know, long format show right now.
Yeah.
Like, so you're trying to tell me you're also not watching House of the Dragon?
Oh my God! Don't.
Well,
like,
I am mad at that.
Me too.
You've got incest fantasy or non-incest fantasy, but they're the same thing.
I must admit, I did message one of my friends to say, and I said, oh, one of the most important and reoccurring things happening in Game of Thrones is back with a vengeance this week. And he said, incest? I said, incest!
Oh,
it's incest.
On.
It lost, like.
Did they learn nothing?
House of the Dragon lost me in the start of season. Like,
I mean, look, if we have to have one, then I will watch Rings of Power because honestly, I'm not mad at Lord of the Rings. I just don't have the energy for it right now.
Well,
the good thing is there's only three episodes out so far, so you could,
you're
you know,
going to have to get the energy for it by next Tuesday.
Or you can just Quinny it and not do the homework fully.
Yeah, when you can read the wiki. Going to have time to watch it, to be honest. I've got an event this weekend.
What event is that, Jill?
Oh, I will be at Crunchyroll Expo in Melbourne.
Amazing.
Come on down. It's going to be an incredible event. I'm hosting panels. I'm hosting cosplay competitions. It's going to be a good time. If you love anime, come on down.
The crunchiest of rolls.
Yes, it's at the Melbourne Exhibition Centre in South Bank. So it's super easy to get to.
Yes, damn. If you're in Melbourne, go. Say hello to Jill. I was going to say heckler on stage, but no, don't do that because it's a dick move.
I'll come down and I'll wallop you.
Yeah.
I would also like to personally thank everybody who has not voted for the Winchesters on our poll.
Yeah.
I don't know. It could work. It could work.
Not looking good. Let's be honest.
You know, look, there is a poll. Like, things are up. We'll sort of stuff. But there is Lord of the Rings coming up. And then we have She-Hulk to round off the end of the month. And then we'll
get up a... actually realized has 9 episodes, not 6. So we'll be reviewing it prematurely.
Yeah, but that's okay.
That's okay.
It's okay.
It's okay. Yeah. It's fine. It's fine.
Yeah. All right. It's giving us something fun to talk about. Yeah. And yeah, then we'll be looking ahead to October, which is a busy month. Mm. There's so many things going on. There's a PAX, there's a AkaCon, there is October Fest, you know, the drinking thing. Just a lot.
There's Halloween.
There is Halloween.
There's something that I'm very excited about.
We're just going to be permanently drunk all October.
There's something I'm very excited about in October, a special show called A Hard Target on Golden Pond.
Oh, yes! Tell the viewers what they're getting.
Because everyone else is just fucking off to go and do whatever else they want, going around different things, Peter and I are going to review the two movies, Hard Target and On Golden Pond. guess who picked which one of each? Well, that will be a very special show Tuesday where we get to discuss.
I'm just gonna join and just sit back and I'm gonna antagonize like Dion does when he's never done the homework.
But funnily enough, you know, I have watched On Golden Pond.
Oh.
So it was years ago.
I'm gonna need you to refresh, Dion.
I will. I guarantee.
Kate's gonna watch Hard Target.
Yeah,
she's so gonna watch Hard Target. But we will get that. That's a special one. That's coming up in October.
We've also had it pointed out to us that the Werewolf by Night special will be happening in October as well, which is an interesting one. I mean, we also this week had a release of a whole bunch of trailers and stuff like that from
D23.
Mm-hmm. So we've now seen the Thunderbolts. We've seen Werewolf by Night. We've got some ideas as to some of the series. We've seen Secret Invasion, or as I'm calling it, Tinker Tailor Soldier Scroll.
That's a good one.
Yes. Some Hocus Pocus 2, and of course 3 episodes of Andor and / Orr.
Mm-hmm. And the Bad Batch season 2. Shut the fuck up, man. God, I've got everything there. There's so much out there.
I know, right?
Yeah,
it's a busy time.
It's a busy time. October will be
anyway. Month,
but let us know what you want to see. Send us a voicemail. Chuck some money at the Ko-Fi to help us keep going because that would be amazing.
Time subscribe to start on watching Twitch. Some shit.
Make it rain, y'all.
Yes, and do all of the subbing and all of that kind of stuff because it's all very important. Mm.
Subbing, we'll do the domming.
Perfect.
And I'll get to Scotland before you.
What? Suddenly we've become Outlander.
Well, it's a Ronald D. Moore show, so why the fuck not? Dom me any time. Okay, Rob. Hello. Well, thank you so much for joining us. I was going to say we'll try and go and raid somebody, but there ain't nobody else on at the moment. There's no Hex, there's no Barjo, there's no Jordan. And maybe we need some more suggestions of people that we could raid.
We also tend to
raid people that we love and know.
Yes, it's true. But we've had fun. Thank you. I hope you've had fun. Thanks for listening to us talk about For All Mankind. Go and do it for all mankind.
Cannot wait to watch everything and come back and listen to this podcast.
Amazing.
Bye.
Thanks, everybody. Good night.
Thanks for listening to the Periodic Table of Awesome podcast. If you have questions, please email info@theperiodictableofawesome.com. Find us on our website, www.theperiodictableofawesome.com, where there's links to our iTunes, Facebook, YouTube, Twitter, Instagram, and Twitch. Until next time. Stay awesome.